Today's passage reading is Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 through 11. Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 through 11.
제가 봉독하겠습니다.
Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male or your female servant or your cattle or your sojourner who stays with you. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth and the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Amen. The senior pastor will deliver the message, Remember the Sabbath Day to Keep It Holy, the fourth session. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, members of over 8,000 branch churches in Korea and all over the world, including the United States, Canada, Mexico, Guatemala, Honduras, El Salvador, Nicaragua, Costa Rica, Panama, Venezuela, Colombia, Ecuador, Peru, Brazil, Bolivia, Uruguay, Argentina, Chile, Japan, Mongolia, China, Taiwan, Thailand, Vietnam, Philippines, Malaysia, Indonesia, Nepal, India, Sri Lanka, Pakistan, Kazakhstan, Israel, Palestine, Egypt, Sudan, Ethiopia, Kenya, Uganda, Rwanda, Burundi, Tanzania, DR Congo, Gabon, Angola, Botswana, Swaziland, South Africa, Burkina Faso, Liberia, Cote d'Ivoire, Ghana, Nigeria, the United Kingdom, Ireland, France, Belgium, Holland, Germany, Italy, Greece, Russia, Sweden, Estonia, Belarus, Ukraine, Dagestan, and local sanctuary members, those who are attending their service on the internet all over the world, children of Sunday school, GCN viewing audiences, and Manmin TV viewing audiences. This is the fourth session in Keep the Sabbath Holy. Have you heard the term Monday Syndrome? They say an increasing number of people are suffering from Monday Syndrome. It's an uncomfortable mental state after the weekend that students or company employees experience on Mondays. They have nervousness, tension, and stress even on Sunday just thinking about the school or work the next day, Monday. In serious cases, people have headaches, indigestion, or lethargy that makes Monday a difficult day. Students should be loving going to school and studying, but because they are forced to do it, also complain employees, it's not that they are doing a service or something, they are getting paid for their work and for their living. They should be thankful that they have a job. Since today there is a 5-day work week, they have a longer weekend and they have time for more recreational activities than before, so they find it hard to recover their biorhythm. But we children of God should have a very energetic Monday. It's because we are filled with new strength when we have true rest at the church on Sunday. If our spirit is renewed, our mind and body are also renewed. We don't just enjoy ourselves, but we attend Sunday services and do God's work all day, and it strengthens us. Also, if we keep the Sabbath holy, we will have the faith to confidently ask God for His protection and prosperity. We don't have to worry about family, workplace, or business like the worldly people. We can have bright and optimistic attitudes in everything because we know the true meaning and value of life. On the outside, we may be doing the same daily routine just like unbelievers. But in fact, we do everything for God's glory, whether we eat or drink or whatever we do. God gives us the hope of heaven and the power of the Holy Spirit, and we can do even difficult work with happiness. The secret of winning the victory for the week is to keep the Sabbath day. If you've felt Mondays to be a burden, I hope you will have refreshed Mondays by keeping the Sabbath holy. I pray in the name of the Lord that you will enjoy true peace and happiness on this earth until you enjoy true rest in New Jerusalem. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, the fourth aspect in keeping the Sabbath holy is that we should not buy or sell anything. The Sabbath is the holy day. We must not conduct business buying or selling on Sunday with greed for money, nor should we buy food and drinks for convenience. When the sons of Israel were in the wilderness after the Exodus, God just told them not to work, because there weren't any business transactions anyway. God gave them manna from heaven every day, so they didn't need any business. But working also includes buying and selling things. How many transactions are derived from this? But after the society and commerce of Israel developed, there was an incident in which commerce on the Sabbath was prohibited. In Nehemiah chapter 13, we can see Nehemiah, the governor of Judah, prohibited business transactions on the Sabbath. At that time, the kingdom of Judah was under the control of Persia. Jerusalem was desolated after the wars. Many were taken as captives, and those who remained were living in disorder and confusion. Nehemiah was a minister for Persian king at the time. He asked the king and was allowed to return to his country. He was trusted and loved by the king and also, as well as the love of God. He became the governor of Judah and rebuilt the city wall and the gate with the people. He knew that their country had been destroyed and the people's lives were impoverished because they did not keep God's commandments. Do you have a difficult time at home, in your workplace, or are you diseased? It's all the same. It's because you didn't live by the commandments of God. Nehemiah and the people repented, even the sins of their ancestors, and the feasts and statutes were reestablished. Nehemiah put special emphasis on keeping the Sabbath holy and prohibited any commercial activity. He saw a Jew working and Gentiles selling things in Jerusalem on the Sabbath, and he reprimanded the Jews. Nehemiah 13:17 says, "What is this evil thing you are doing by profaning the Sabbath day? It is evil to violate the Sabbath." God's curses came upon Israel because they didn't give proper tithes. And because you don't give proper tithes, you get sick and your business don't go well. And because you don't keep the Sabbath holy, and this is evil. Please do not be confused. In regard to the tithes, it is curse. And in regard to the Sabbath, it is something evil. It means that it is in violation of the Sabbath and evil to work and to conduct business on the Sabbath. In verse 18 it says, "Did not your fathers do the same? So that our God brought on us and on this city all this trouble." Because it is evil to profane the Sabbath, and because of that, curses also came, the troubles. God says it is evil, and because of that, troubles come. And because you don't give proper tithes, curses come upon you. Yet, you are adding to the wrath on Israel by profaning the Sabbath. The history of Israel had blessings or curses according to whether or not they obeyed God. And it's the same for us too. The blessing and curses of God's children all depend on whether they obey the word of God or not. Suppose your families have problems, your workplaces, businesses have problems. Please check yourself, check the situations. God's word is absolute, absolutely truth. We can see that those things happen because you didn't live keep the commandments of God, whether curses or illnesses or problems. They had prosperity when they kept the commandments of God. They were so peaceful, and you have such a peaceful heart when you really do keep the Sabbath from your heart. There are two sisters came to my residence for a meeting, and with the surnames Han, and they were saying, they had many prayer points, and she received all the prayer points except one or something. She received all the answers, and since she has come to this church, but before she didn't really know the truth, so she was just attending. She was kind of a churchgoer, but since she came to this church, she came to love the truth, the Word of God. So when God says, throw it away, she just threw it away. God says, don't do it, and she wouldn't do, and people just struggle, and sisters, they don't really understand why they have to struggle so much, why people have to struggle so much, and why they feel it is so difficult. God says, don't do it, and you just don't do it, and that's it. So these two sisters wouldn't really understand, so seeing them, I was reminded of my the time when I was a new believer. It was the same. So for those people, it wouldn't take so much time to go into Holy Spirit. Because even when I didn't know the truth very well, I just obeyed the guidance of the Holy Spirit, and it took 3 years. But so because there is a teaching from here, so it wouldn't take so much time. So I asked the sister's director, the boss in the department. So he also says they don't have any kind of evil. So she wouldn't even get married for going to work for God and work for the Lord. And the reason being is it's not really doesn't really mean anything, because dwelling in the Word of God is so fun and such a happy thing. It is so happy to work for the Lord and to march towards New Jerusalem. So nothing can distract her from doing that. So it's such a happy life. So those two sisters, they are always smiling. And the younger sister is I can't see her eyes because she's always smiling so much. I can't really see her eyes. And the elder sister is always smiling. So because they are so happy from the bottom of their heart, it is the smiling that comes from the depth of the heart. So they can receive all the answers to their prayers. And one of the prayer titles was prayer points. The elder sister was working for Hyundai Motor Company, and the younger sister is working for Samsung, and the elder sister was working for Hyundai Motor Company, but she was getting paid a lot, and still she wanted to become a Levite, full-time worker of the church. And finally, she became one. She's working as a Levite, and she wanted to see the senior pastor all the time, work with him, and she wanted to move near the my house also. And these things are a little small things, but there are many other things that she received the answers also. And when she was working in that company, she was also loved by her bosses, and she was loved there. And she still meets those ex-coworkers, and she gave this magazine, Manmin, and they were saying, oh, this is such a great church. And two, at first they didn't understand why she wanted to quit and work in the church. But seeing this magazine, Manmin, the pictorial, and they now understood, oh, this is such a great church. And they were saying they could understand why she wanted to work for the church so much. Because they were keeping the commandments of God and living by the word of God, they are so full of happiness and joy, and they're just happy coming to church, praying and praising God, and happy worshiping God. And the fact that they are living by the word of God is such a great happiness. So they are also good at English, and they also want to learn French, and there are many French speaking people coming to our church, and we don't have enough people who can speak French. So they are studying French too. And when they when we keep the commandments of God, we have peace and joy and happiness overflowing from our heart. That's why the things of the world cannot come into us. But when they distanced themselves from the commandments, they suffered from foreign invasion, famine, or diseases. We have to learn from their history. When you face problems in family, diseases, or other calamities, you cannot just solve them by looking at physical reasons. You have to consider the spiritual aspects, namely your relationship with God, in order to solve the fundamental problems. If you did not live by the word of God, you have to repent thoroughly and live by the word. That way, disasters will leave and you will receive blessings. Of course, the sins that you commit knowing that it is sin, you will have to face some trials because of the sins. And after the trials are over, you will soon recover and you will be dwelling in the grace and compassion of God. Proverbs 1:33 says, "But he who listens to me shall live securely and will be at ease from the dread of evil." If we live in the word of God, we live securely. Brothers and sisters, the Jews regretted departing from God only after their nation was destroyed. When Ezra, the scribe, read the law of God in front of the people, they repented with tears. Then they tried to keep the law and to live by the word of God. Nehemiah closed the city gate before the Sabbath so that those who wanted to sell things couldn't come or go. The Levites sanctified their bodies and stood guard at the gates. They even drove away the merchants who were sleeping outside the city wall who wanted to sell their things right after the Sabbath. Just as Nehemiah and the people strictly kept their city, we have to strictly keep our hearts today. The Gentiles were waiting for Sabbath to be over, but still they drove them away. They drove away from the city wall so that nobody would be tempted at all in the first place. We have to stay away from things that can cause us to violate the Sabbath and actually keep it holy. So there shouldn't be anything that can tempt us. We shouldn't let anything tempt us. After making people keep the Sabbath holy, Nehemiah boldly made a confession before God. Nehemiah 13:22, later part says, "For this also remember me, O my God, and have compassion on me." Remember what? That He made people keep the Sabbath holy. He prohibited buying and selling things, and he drove away Gentiles from coming into the city. They wanted to come after the Sabbath, but he didn't allow them from sleeping outside the city wall so that the people wouldn't be tempted at all. And they kept the faith for God this way. Oh my God, and remember me, oh my God, and have compassion on me according to the greatness of your loving kindness. First John chapter 3 verses 21 to 22 says, Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, say your name. Say your name, beloved, your name. If our heart, your heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God, and whatever we ask, we receive from Him. You don't have to repeat now. We receive whatever we ask, we receive from Him because we keep His commandments. And do the things that are pleasing in His sight. We do the things that please Him. Because Nehemiah kept the Sabbath holy, he could boldly ask God, ask for the blessings of God. Therefore, I hope you will also show the evidence of your love for God by keeping the Sabbath holy. So especially to keep the Sabbath holy, I urge you to buy what you will need on the Sabbath in advance. And it's not difficult to keep it totally, keep it holy. But when you counsel or visit a new believer, you should be prudent. If you say to a new believer who does not know or realize the Word of God that they will face disastrous consequences if they open their shop or buy or selling things on the Lord's Day, they will stumble. And it is wrong to teach so. How pitiful it is if they leave the church even before they meet God because the word has become a burden to them. This is like feeding a newborn baby with solid food that causes problems. We don't say curses come on anybody for new believers. Why? Why does God discriminate different people? Suppose you give a birth to a child. Newborn babies, suppose they are not even 100 days old. Or I don't know how much. I don't know whether they can those are little babies. Not even 1 year old. They do their thing, you know. They waste their body. They have the body waste. And the parents say, are you an animal? You don't know where to empty your bowl. The animals, they don't know whether... They don't know anything like toilet or bathroom. Are you an animal? Which mother would say that? How can you empty your bowl here like this? How can... Which mother would say that? It's the responsibility of the mother. It's the responsibility of the mother. It's not the baby's fault. And but if they become 3 years, 4 years, 5 years old, and they should be able to do it, then maybe the mothers can scold them and reprimand them. It's the same for the new believers who don't have faith. In such cases, they are like little babies. So God doesn't punish them or curse them or anything like that. If a person who has only a little faith opens the shop or buys something after the Sunday service, it doesn't necessarily mean he will receive punishment immediately. When he has some grown-up faith, then God may show him something. But suppose the person doesn't have so much faith, but he knows the word. He knows the word, so he may keep it or may not keep it. Suppose it means he's like 3 or 4 years old in spirit. But when he doesn't keep the Sabbath, God may slightly punish him a little bit, not harshly, but just a little bit slightly, so he can gain the realization. Now it's about the time that you begin to keep it holy. Then he will understand, oh, because of this, not keeping the Sabbath, I have this problem. So he will be able to change his mind to keep it holy. God shows concern in guiding each one according to their faith. God lets them gain experience and understanding so they can keep the Sabbath joyfully because they want to. Still, the leaders should teach them the will of God. You should let them know the meaning of the Sabbath and the blessings that will come when they keep it. Sometimes I hear such testimonies. New believers, they've registered recently, and some people say, oh, they keep the Sabbath, they pray hard, and they give the whole tithes, and I'm happy to hear such a thing, but it'll be so good if it continues. But the next, they say this problem, that problem, and they had so many problems, but all problems were solved. They just registered recently, and they pray hard, they attend all the services, and all their problems were resolved. I hear such testimonies, and servants of God, pastors, will be strengthened to hear such testimonies. It's such a great encouragement because it's the word of God being fulfilled. If you give testimonies to plant faith in them and pray for them, eventually they'll be able to keep it by their will. But if somebody who knows the will of God and who has faith still buys and sells things on the Sabbath, following his desires and convenience, then trials may come upon him. Even though God wants to protect them, if it is not right according to the justice, God cannot protect him. But on the Sabbath, sometimes there are special cases in which buying and selling things on the Sabbath are allowed. The most important thing is whether they want to really keep it with a true heart. In Luke chapter 6, Jesus talked about Sabbath. Jesus was passing by the field on the Sabbath, and the disciples cut the grains and rubbed them and ate. And some Pharisees said, why do you do these things on the Sabbath that you cannot do? At that time, according to the traditions, cutting the grain and rubbing them with hands were considered all work that shouldn't be done on the Sabbath. But this is also the tradition of the elders, the rules of men, not the commandment of God. God didn't say this much. But of course, there are spiritual things, as you heard from Leviticus lectures. but they couldn't really understand the spiritual meanings because they didn't have the Holy Spirit. But God just gave them the commands for them to keep it. But God's real heart is not something like that. But still, they had to obey God's commandments, and so they could be said that they had faith. But in the New Testament, we have the Holy Spirit, so the Holy Spirit lets us realize. So that the law of the Old Testament is changed anew into a spiritual meaning. How to keep the Sabbath holy. How to... In the Old Testament, you are stricken, then you slap, you strike back. But in the New Testament, when you are stricken, you turn the other cheek too. It's changed. Because to love, you love your enemies too. If somebody asks for your tunic, you give your garment. If you love God, you will do it. You listen to the word so much, and you become elders and senior deaconesses, and still, you don't even, sometimes you don't even keep these simple commandments. It's such a simple commandment. And if somebody says anything, you get hurt, you get offended. And if a senior pastor says something and if they get hurt and offended, I don't know. I only teach them good things. And if they don't agree, they just have ill feelings, hard feelings. And how can God bless them? They have a heart like a new believer, like a baby in spirit. Little children, if they don't like anything, they become sulky and they have hard feelings. If they, you know, suppose the parents give only their brothers something to eat and they don't give to him, then he doesn't understand. He's angry. There must be a reason for the parents to do it. But the children, they are at home, so they can eat anytime, actually. So Jesus mentioned what David and his men did when they were hungry. He went into the temple of God and he ate the bread of displayed. And he gave to his men too. And he said, the Son of Man is the Lord of the Sabbath. God didn't prohibit such a thing. Because they were hungry, they could eat. So on the Sabbath, cooking is not supposed to be sin. Because we have to eat on the Sabbath. God is love. Our Lord is love. And if you're hungry, you have to cook for yourself. But in Israel nowadays, they, on the Sabbath, they cannot make fire. So our mission team, on the Sabbath, on Saturday, when they go to eat breakfast on Saturday, meat or the poultry or chicken, nothing is hot. Because they can't make fire. They cooked all the food the day before, and they have to eat everything cold. I never go down to the restaurant to eat. I just eat in my room. I just stay in my room all the time. So I don't really know, but there are many fruits and it's so good and I want to join them a little bit, but I can't go down there because of the time, to save the time. And they cannot even make fire on the Sabbath, but God is not that kind of God. He wants us to cook and make it hot and have a nice meal. Likewise, to understand the will of the Lord who is the Lord of the Sabbath and to keep it properly is to keep the Sabbath holy. For example, the church provides some convenience for the church members. We have a church store, bookstore, and vending machines. These exceptional cases are allowed. And what is the reason? It is to help the members to keep the Sabbath holy. If you buy and sell things, You buy and sell things, and why is it good purpose? It is good purpose. The bookstore sells the Bible and the praise, hymnal books and things that are needed for Christian life that give life for your soul to prosper. They sell them to benefit your spirit. And other than that, it's not allowed to sell anything else. They can make profit. Oh, they can sell only the things that give life. I've never been to the church bookstore for a long time, but without my knowledge, if they sell anything of the world, then please make a report to the secretary office. Something like that should never happen. It's not buying things for their personal desire. It's not for the purpose of making profit. They are not selling it for profit. In case of church stores, some new believers or children may not go outside because of that. Sometimes some church members cannot prepare the snacks for their children beforehand. So in that case, what do they have to do? They shouldn't go outside and violate the Sabbath by buying and selling things. And also, new believers, if they come to the church and can't even drink a cup of coffee after meal, it may feel so hard for them to come to church. There are some people who must drink coffee after meals. There are people who must drink something after meals. To prevent this kind of problem beforehand, we have set up these facilities. In the 80s, we didn't have these facilities. We had noodles from the beginning. We served the noodles from the beginning. So sometimes some people come, some higher class people, they wouldn't even eat the noodles. They would just eat whatever they brought from home in their cars. They would just bring lunch boxes and eat them in the car. Because there were only hundreds of people. When I asked what they were doing, they were in the coffee shop. What are they doing there? They're drinking coffee. And they were waiting for the evening service to start. Because they didn't have time to they didn't have space for rest. Even now we don't have such a resting place. But when in Canaan Sanctuary we'll make some resting place. But now we don't really have a resting place. And beginning time, there wasn't any such place. So they, in the coffee shop, they were waiting. And when we make any profit from here, we spend them for missionary and charitable works for the salvation of souls. So in any vending machine or from the church store, they don't take the profit. We spend the profit for charitable works and for scholarships of the students. We spend them for the good purpose. Of course, on the Sabbath, it is better to prepare everything on the day before. When you try to keep the Sabbath holy, you will receive the fragrance of your heart. In my case, in the church or anything, I don't buy anything on the Sabbath. Since I was a new believer until now, I strictly keep everything, but I keep it with happiness and joy, not reluctantly or not being forced. If you keep it, it's good. When I am going somewhere, even if I want to drink something, I just drink whatever I prepared. In summer, I have to just drink a kind of warm drink. But after the midnight passes, when it becomes Monday, when I go to the service area and drink the cool drinks, then it feels very good. Dear brothers and sisters, other than this, you might have a question when you try to keep the Sabbath holy. For example, your relatives or close friends are having a wedding ceremony or some parties on the Sabbath. And in these cases, what do you have to do? Those who are partying on Sundays are probably do not have nothing to do with God or faith. And mostly worldly parties, people gather and enjoy themselves. So if you have faith, you will not attend such meetings on the Sabbath. In any case, on the Sabbath, on Sundays, you will not attend worldly parties. If you have been accumulating this kind of act, and the people around you will also recognize you because they know your faith, so they won't have misunderstandings. Suppose Christians don't drink in a meeting place, then they might face some persecutions because they don't know you so much. But if you've been recognized as a faithful Christian, they will just pass these cases easily. Even if there are misunderstandings, God will finally resolve them and resolve the problems too. When you first join the company, the bosses and the other colleagues, they don't know you. So when they ask you, you don't drink at all. And so they may misunderstand and they may get angry too. There's nothing to be angry at. If you don't drink, it is good for health. But some bosses, they don't like it. Still, after some time passes, they will regard you as a devout Christian, faithful Christian, so you will be trusted. You will gain the trust from them. They cannot say, because you don't drink, you just fire. You're fired. If they say you're fired because of that, then you don't really have to such a company. I'm sure there's nothing like that. So it's the same with the going to worldly parties. If you explain the reasons why beforehand and show your heart in advance, there won't be so many misunderstandings. We have 6 brothers and sisters, and my wife has 9 brothers and sisters. So there are so many cousins and nephews and nieces and so on and so forth. My wife's nephews and nieces, there are so many. I have many nephews and nieces too. And since the opening of the church, there have been weddings and 60-year-old birthdays and 70-year birthdays and so on and so forth. But thankfully, they don't do it. They don't hold it on Sunday. Now they are evangelized, but even when they were not evangelized in the 80s, they didn't do it on the Sabbath, on the Sunday, because of us. Because they knew we weren't coming. We are not going to come on Sunday, so they would do it on Saturday. So maybe one of us could go. Mostly my wife would go. So they do it on Saturday. If they do it on Sunday, they would be embarrassed, feel sorry for us. They wouldn't say, oh, you don't even come for your nephew. They wouldn't say that, but rather they would be sorry that they are having it on Sunday. But on Sunday, if they do have it on Sunday, on Friday or Saturday, my wife would go and give the present or something. And I came in advance because of the Sunday, and nobody would blame us. But if you don't keep the Sabbath, and then if they persecute you, it's because your deeds, your actions are not complete. If you act properly like a true Christian, then there is no reason for you to be persecuted. If they love you, really love you, they'll do it on Saturday. When I was a new believer, on a Sunday, I was in a difficult situation. My parents came from the countryside, My brother's family, my sister's family, and many people came. They wanted to pack a lunch and go to the amusement park in Seoul. They all made the plan. They all decided. And came to me. And I didn't have, there was no chance for me. Because it's Sunday, I cannot go. I'm sorry. I'm sorry for the parents. But it's because it's Sunday, I cannot go. That's what I said. And the parents, they understood. Yes, you should attend church. They accepted it right away. But there were some others who couldn't be happy. But there was no reason to be persecuted. But when such things happen once and twice, they never made any appointment or any occasion, any event on Sundays. And those who say they are persecuted for being a believer, for attending church, I look at them once again, why they are persecuted. In my case, my families, my wife's families, even those who, there were many people who even worshipped idols in the 80s, but we were never really persecuted by anybody. And why would you be persecuted? Because you are attending church. It's all because of you. It's all your, if you do well, there shouldn't be any persecution on you. Your husband is persecuting you. You can't even change your husband. Just one person. He's your own husband. It's so simple. But the new believers who have weak faith may feel hard doing so. For example, if relatives who are not believers are getting married on Sunday and they may be afraid that they'll be persecuted if they don't attend. In this case, they may attend the ceremony for a moment in the measure of their faith. It is in their measure of faith because they don't have that much faith. But those who have good faith, suppose pastors or Levites or elders, they don't attend such ceremonies at all. But those who don't have that much faith, they'll be worried. They may give excuses. On the Sunday, they're getting married, and if I don't go, they'll misunderstand, and I won't be able to evangelize them. There are some people who give this kind of excuse, but it's because their faith is that much. And such people, they can go to the ceremony, but after attending the service. So it's up to the measure of their faith. Those who have good faith, they won't go at all in the first place. And they won't give any excuses. I won't be able to evangelize them later. It's not really true. You can evangelize them better. You can evangelize them when you keep the truth, when you follow the word of God, when you break it, when you violate it, you cannot evangelize anybody. Daniel and his three friends, because they kept the truth, they could change even the Gentile king. But you shouldn't miss the service. You have to attend the service first. Also, you must not go to the party after the ceremony on the Sabbath. It is not right to do that. It's not right to enjoy yourselves in the party on the Sabbath. Even though you don't enjoy yourself, it's not right to participate in the party where they enjoy themselves. Maybe when I was a new believer in Gumodong, when I was living in Gumodong, in my wife's brother's house, on a Lunar New Year's Day or something, maybe Chuseok or Lunar New Year. I think it was Chuseok. There were some people. And they gathered, the family members gathered, and my wife and my wife's brother and sister, and they were playing the cards. And I used to like it very much because when I was sick, I didn't have much things to do, and I used to enjoy playing cards. I was never really a professional, but I didn't cheat anybody, but and because they were playing, I was peeking into the table. I wanted to play too, but nobody was telling me to join. So I was looking at them on the table. I was and the my wife's elder brother told me, "What? You are attending church and you want to play this? You shouldn't play it." I was so surprised. If I joined them, I would be so sorry before the Lord. It would be such a disgrace for God. So it is fortunate that I hurriedly joined them, that I didn't hurry to join them. So I was thankful. Even when I was a new believer, so thankfully, since the opening of the church until now, in your home or in other places, I've never heard our members playing cards among themselves. I'm so thankful. But in 1999, the broadcaster said I was a gambler. And there are so many people who left believing that. Do I look like a gambler? Since the opening of church, I didn't even receive the salary from the church. I just give to God. Give to God again and again and collect everything and give to God. And why would I have to gamble? Of course, new believers do not have faith, and God doesn't condemn them even if they attend the ceremony, but please try not to do it. Just by attending the ceremony, just a couple of times, if you keep on attending them, your faith may be weakened and you may violate the Sabbath later too. And when new believers face this kind of situations, please rely on God. I hope you will have a mature faith who can have nothing that can hinder you from keeping the Sabbath holy. But sometimes you may have to attend a worldly party because of purpose of saving souls. Suppose a new believer is getting married on a Sunday and he invites the pastor and the worker leaders. And if they don't go, that person may be stumbled because the new believer doesn't know keeping the Sabbath. So he will invite them. In this case, you don't have the desire to violate the Sabbath, and it is because it is for the saving of that soul who is more precious than the whole world. It is not to violate the Sabbath to visit him. But if you just leave him to the hands of God with prayer, it is best to keep the Sabbath holy. But in the case, considering the situation of that soul, if you have to go, and also if you can lead that soul to God by going there, you may also go. Matthew 12:11 says, if a sheep falls the pit on the Sabbath, which one of you will not pull it out? And how much more precious a man is than a sheep? So, can we compare a man and a sheep? Of course, sheep is the best of the animals according to the Bible, but he cannot be compared with a man. suppose some people they don't love people, but they love animals only. I cautioned a brother once. That brother, he loves animals. I don't want to mention the name of the animal. But the relationship between his brother and himself is not good. The younger one loves the animal. So that I talked to that brother once. You love animals so much. And why don't you love your brother so much? You love animals so much. In the same way, if you love your elder brother, he will love you so much too. And he replied, it was kind of shocking, so I don't want to say it to you. And a soul, person is much more precious than sheep, but even sheep, for the sheep, you will pull it out of the pit if it falls to the pit on the Sabbath. And who says that it is work? It is the parable of the Lord. Isn't it ridiculous? When a sheep goes into the pit, you pull it out, and it is not to violate the Sabbath. And if you eat because of your hungry, and if you cut the grain and eat, it is to violate the Sabbath. The will of the Lord, who is the Lord of the Sabbath, is to save souls. Therefore, whatever situation you face, you first have to choose the way to save life. Furthermore, I urge you in the name of the Lord to choose the way to save many souls. Let me conclude the message. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, the Lord fulfilled the law with love. Namely, He set us free from the curse of the law, which is that we'll fall into death if we violate the law. We are free in the truth. But to gain true freedom, we have to keep the commandments. We have to cast away all the desires to violate the commandments so that we can really have the true freedom. In my case, I am free in all things within the 66 books of the Bible. You may not be able to understand something about me, but I am free about everything because I understand the will and heart of God so very well. And within the will of God, I choose the way to please God. And if we can do that, we can have the true freedom. If you want to gain true freedom, those who say it is difficult in your Christian life, to lead a Christian life, those who want the worship service to end quickly, those who want the Daniel prayer meeting to be shortened, this kind of person, that kind of person, there are many kinds. Just think about it. Whether you really love God, then you'll have the evidence of loving God. You say, oh, I love you, God. But in your heart, you don't have the true heart to love God. Even if you say you miss God, you don't really miss God. You don't really want to see him. Rather, you'd want to see your boyfriend or girlfriend or your parents or your brothers, but you don't really miss God. God tells us to cast away all forms of evil because he hates those evil, but you hate others. You don't want to see others being well off, prosperous. You're envious, jealous. And students, if somebody, some other friends, they study hard, they excel in academics, and they are praised by teachers, you don't like them, you're jealous of them. And in the church, if others are praised by others, you hate them. When they get a reward, award or something, they hate them. So in repentance letters, when others receive awards, I do better than them, and why can't I receive any award? And they are praised by the senior pastor, whereas senior pastor doesn't praise me at all. I never mentioned any name, but how can that person know who it is? I don't really mention any names in praising. And also I do it because it is, those people are good enough to be praised. I don't really praise them because they stumble. They soon become arrogant and they stumble. So our Lord, that's why, even though the disciples worked so hard, the Lord didn't praise them. But the Lord also praised those who are not with them at the moment. In case of the widow in the Zarephath, and also the daughter, the mother who had the demon-possessed daughter, and the Roman centurion, and Jesus praised those people when they were not there. But Jesus, I remember one occasion, Jesus praised Peter to him at his presence. But soon, he was tempted. And again, immediately, right after that, Jesus had to say, "Satan, get behind Satan." Right after praising him, Jesus had to say that to Peter. And that is why praising and commanding shouldn't be done frequently. So if you feel happy keeping the commandments, then they will certainly receive blessings. Those who are driving on the highways, those who are afraid of policemen, they have the desire to violate the law. That is why they are afraid of police officers. If you don't have any desire to violate the law, you will love policemen. Because if anything happens, if anything wrong happens, you will call the police and ask for help. And the police will keep you safe, so you love them. But if you want to violate the Sabbath, you are afraid of police. It's all the same with God. 1 Peter 2:16 says, "You are free, but do not use that freedom to cover the evil, but act like a servant of God." And in any case, you have to have the desire to keep the commandments of God all the time so you can have the freedom and the truth. As long as you have the desire to commit sins, you will always have to be careful about committing sins. And when you do commit sins, you will face tests and trials. And when it's the same when you keep Sabbath holy. God tells us to keep the Sabbath holy, and He's enlarged the boundary of keeping the Sabbath. And if you really want to keep the Sabbath, if you don't want to keep the Sabbath holy, because of this freedom, you may fall into way of death too. So I urge you to keep the Sabbath holy with all your heart, as I said in the beginning. I could have explained this in the 80s, but at that time, God didn't allow me, because some people might take advantage of that enlarged boundary, and those who had a weak faith might violate the Sabbath. But now your faith has grown up. And those who have faith, those who go into the Spirit, there are many of them, so they can teach. So God could have enlarged the boundary of keeping the Sabbath. To keep the Sabbath holy, first of all, we must not do any worldly work, but worship in the sanctuary. Second, we have to sanctify our body and mind and keep the Sabbath. And third, we have to give the whole day to God on the Sabbath. And fourth, we must not buy or sell things on the Sabbath. By keeping the Sabbath holy, I hope you will enjoy true rest and also go into heaven where you will have eternal rest. I pray in the name of the Lord that you will enter into the New Jerusalem, the happiest and most resting place in heavenly kingdom. Let us pray together thinking about the message. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you for your grace and love. Let this message become life and faith. Let them have the heart to keep the Sabbath holy. Let them understand. I explained why it is a blessing to keep the Sabbath holy. By keeping the Sabbath holy, they won't face any disasters, problems, and they will be loved by God, and they will receive answers to anything they ask in prayer. And Father God, thank you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. It is a blessing to keep the Sabbath holy, and now you understand. First, your soul will prosper. And everything will go well. You will be healthy. And you will be protected in everything. There won't be any accusation of Satan. So you won't face any disasters. You won't have any diseases. You cannot stop diseases coming into your body. It may come into your nose, nostrils, or your mouth, or you cannot stop them by man's strength, but God can do it. God can protect you with the fire, the walls of the Holy Spirit, and with His light. So these things cannot come into you. So you won't have a disease. You won't face disasters. You won't face accidents. Even if you make a mistake. Also, whatever we have to do it. Caring for your body, not so much, but you don't have to do it so much, but just by praying, you are getting so much exercise. You are getting the whole body exercise by praying. And on top of that, you shouldn't overuse your body. So whatever you can do, you have to do it. But what the things that you cannot do, God will protect you. So there won't be any problem if you just live by the word of God. I pray for the sick. Please lay your hands on sick parts and infirmities and receive the prayer for your heart's desires. Hallelujah, Father God, lay your hands on them. Lay your hands on the people transcending time and space. All branch churches, all churches and local sanctuaries that are attending the service through satellite all over the country, and all children of God who are attending the service on the internet all over the world, and all GCN and NOMI TV viewers, and there are many people who sent their prayer requests with their photos. Father, lay your hands on these photos. Chang Young-shim in Busan, lay your hands on her. Father, lay your hands. Because cleanse her from all after effects of traffic accident, and heal her of hyperthyroid. She cannot sleep very well because of difficulty in breathing. Father, lay your hands on her. Burn her with the fire of the Holy Spirit. And for 10 years, she hasn't been able to work, and she has received many surgeries too. Father, have your mercy on her. Cleanse her completely. She came to know about our church on the internet, and she sent a photo with faith, and she wants to change her characters too. And she sometimes becomes sensitive, and she curses. Sometimes she speaks foul language, and she regrets after getting back to her own senses. And Father, have mercy on her. Give her love in her heart. Give her blessing. Give her goodness in her heart. And Father, let her be able to control herself, and let her not have any evil thoughts. And let her realize that it's not the parents' curse that she is sick. She let her not complain against her parents or her family members, but rather let her feel sorry for it, and let her love her family members, and have mercy on her. Burn her with the fire of the Holy Spirit. Let her not have any nightmares, and drive away all the pains and all paralysis. Drive away all pains and paralysis. Father, give receive glory through this daughter. And Pastor Seung-Gil Yoo from Japan has a handkerchief crusade in Tokyo Mami Church on March 1st, Sunday. And also, there will be a special prayer meeting of Mami's branch and associative churches meeting in Tokyo Mami Church on March 2nd, Monday. Bless them, bless the meeting. And Abraham Salguera, Pastor Abraham Salguera from Nicaragua, he is asking for the health of the president of Nicaragua and for the evangelization of the country. And he wants to receive the answer for the to pay back the debt for the land and for the land of the church construction. And they are praying to invite me in 2010. And they are praying. Also, Eromino Velasquez from Mexico, let him remember all the sins that he committed and let him have a proper faith. And Ruben from India, let him be healed of diabetes, kidney problem. Let him be able to stop the dialysis. And Chaman Ral Sandhu from India, let his wife and two sons and daughter-in-law and the granddaughters, let them have everything go well with them. Let the whole family receive the blessings. And Pastor Chandra from India, he lost eyesight of right eye. And let him recover because of the accident. He lost his eyesight on the right eye. Let him recover. And his son had left skull surgery 3 years ago, and let him recover and let him be healthy. And from neighboring country, Tan and we missionaries, they are planning to open a church in certain areas, and also they will have a handkerchief crusade. Bless them and show your great works. And Zhang Wei, and let the 2 months fetus grow up well, and let her keep the Lord's Day holy, and let her have spiritual faith, and let her husband, Hu Chang Hong, have a good job. And when we may, wants to be healed of Jeremiah, and give her prayer, power of prayer and grace of repentance, and give her spiritual faith. And Chang Ming Sha, give her family evangelization. And Chang Mei Yen, let her specialize open EGNE for the growth of the church and spiritual blessings in Ko, and for the repentance, and let her go into spirit quickly. Let her receive the power of prayer and fruit of the evangelization. Father, give them blessings whether they come in or go out. Let them not be laid off. Give the jobless jobs, and give them good works, and also bless them in all things, in their families, workplaces, and businesses. Protect all the church vehicles, church members' vehicles, and also bless and protect all the overseas missionaries, pastors, and members. And let them make no mistakes while driving. Lord, bless them in all respects throughout the week. Give them peace. And this year is the year of blessing. Let them prepare the vessel to receive abundant blessings. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.